All right. I miss those guys right there. Jocelyn mentioned a new series starting the week after next. She's called it a two-part series. Yeah, it's two huge parts. The first part lasts all summer, and then the second part lasts all fall. So get ready to study Romans as we dive in. On the platform with me is Robert and Claudia Pungaru, and we are so blessed to have them as a part of our congregation. And it's a special time right now that Pastor Jim has been our Christian education pastor, and he's not going anywhere. We're just shifting things around a little bit, and I'll tell you more in the weeks to come what Pastor Jim and Leanne will be doing. But Robert and Claudia are taking over the Christian Ed ministry from Jim and Leanne. And so I'm really, really excited to have them on board as department heads in our church. Some of you don't know a little bit of the details of their story. I rarely call people when you send in a connection card, or when you put your connection card in on Sunday mornings. And I was thumbing through the cards a few years ago, and I came across this card, Claudia Pungaru. And something in my spirit just said, call her. And I thought, nah, I'm not going to call her. And I thought, call her. I'm like, it's weird. I didn't call some random lady. It's just awkward. I'm not going to call her. Like the Holy Spirit is like, bam, bam, bam. So I called her. And this really fast speaking woman with an accent was on the other end of the phone. And I said, what's that accent? And she goes, it's Romanian. Where are you from? Bucharest. And so we started chatting. I'd been to Bucharest, and we found out we had all kinds of mutual friends and that they'd been in the area for a couple of years looking for a church and could find nothing that they felt that the Spirit was leading them to. So after that phone call, they settled, and they've been family ever since. And it's so cool how the Holy Spirit will work. Well, I wanted to introduce you to them and give them a chance to tell you a little bit about their vision for Christian education, but also they're starting a new education class next Sunday. So it's next Sunday, right? Or two Sundays?
Yes, two Sundays.
Two Sundays on the 27th. So Robert and Claudia, tell us a little bit about what your plans are, what your vision is, and how the lifers can get on board.
Well, you know, my plan is to stay young.
That's a good start.
Now, first of all, we are so honored to serve the body, you know, in this position. Thank you. I mean, it's such an opportunity and honor, more than anything. It's so humbling. But yeah, like Pastor Greg said, you know, we took over the Christian education. And we're the kind of people that, if you get to know us, we're pretty much not moving unless God is saying it. So... that's how it goes with us. If we're doing a class, we really feel about that. If not, then, you know, if we start a class and then we stop it after the first one, that means like, hey, we try it and it's not it. We're not ashamed to take the defeat, but, you know, we also celebrate the victories. Mm-hmm. Next, you know, on the 27th, we have this class that is starting. It's about our identity. Mm-hmm. And the funny thing is that, you know, one of the number one fears in America is the fear of speaking in public. And it's just so, you know, it's not logical. Think about it. You know, I mean, people are more afraid of that than doing, you know, skydiving. It just doesn't make sense. And the thing is, like, you know, it actually has to do with us. The class actually, you know, it starts in Numbers when the spies went to the promised land, you know, to see that, to see the good that God wants to bring them. Mm-hmm. And it says what? You know, we went there and we were like grasshoppers, you know, in our own eyes. You know, they didn't even ask them. They were just looking at themselves. And, you know, sometimes, you know, it is like this. Maybe God is trying to pull you out of something into something better. Not marriage. If you are married, stay married. There is nothing better. You know, I mean, that's for life, man. You did it. I mean, it's going to pull you out of that and you're going to go into heaven. But no, but, you know, maybe limitations, maybe things that you struggle. And after a while, you know, sometimes, you know, life has a weird way of, you know, maybe I should have this in my life forever. You know, if it's not from God, things that we struggle, limits, you know, definitely there's something better for you there. And this is what this class is going to deal with, you know, our identity. And then we're going to end up in John, and the Bible says that, you know, to those that received him, you know, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, he gave them the right to call themselves children of God. And that's such a powerful thing. Mm-hmm. You know, when you're dealing with your struggle, you are children of God. Mm-hmm. When you're in your marriage and doesn't, you know, you're still a children of God, you know. when you are at work and you feel limitations coming over you, you're still a children of God. Mm-hmm. And it's important, you know, to realize that. So it's a four-class series. We're skipping 4th of July because, you know, it's 4th of July. We got to celebrate. Then we're going to come back. But, you know, it's just scratching the surface, you know, at the options, at the opportunity that we have, you know, when we walk into our daily life, you know, being that, you know, sons and daughters of God. It's almost like Superman living the, how is that, Fortress of Solitude thing?
I have no idea what you're talking about.
You know, like Superman stuff, you know, he goes out into the world and he does the whole thing. It's like, you know, so it is. Yeah, okay, praise God. But this is my beautiful wife, Claudia. I've been married with her for forever now. I mean, it's that long. 24th November. I still remember the date. You know, it's like every day is a celebration, you know. So we have one kid. His name is Marcus. We got it right from the first time and we said, that's it. You know, like, hey. We got the perfect one. No more trials. I'm kidding. No, we have a dog. A couple of years back, when did that happen? You know, just to tell you about, you know, why don't you share something?
Okay, fine. All right. Well, we've been here almost 5 years at church. It's a blessing to be. Yeah, 5 years. I don't remember. Anyways, it's great to be here on the side of the Christian education part. We've also started doing some worship nights, and we're trying to do those once a month. The last one we did was powerful. Whoever was here, I'm sure you guys can back it up and say, yeah. So come and join us for that too. All the things that we have lined up, there's a lot of different things. And our heart, I think, more than anything else is to help the body. And if that's the kids' departments in a way, or helping something, or the youth, or whatever, it doesn't matter the age. For us, we just feel that Christian education crosses the barrier of age. And we believe that kids and adults alike have to know the real truth and have to get to grasp that. So that's kind of our heart. And we see where God is going to take us.
Amen.
Praise God.
Amen.
That's it.
All right. Let's pray. Let's pray over these guys too. Okay. And it cracked me up when you went, yeah, we have one son, Marcos. You know, one son, Marcos.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
Yeah. He's looking you eye to eye, Papa.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you for Robert and Claudia and how you put the family of God together. It was by absolutely no mistake, and I remember it clearly, staring at that connection card. And had that call not been made, who knows? But your spirit is always true, and your spirit is always a good guide. And now they are here as part of our leadership team. And I thank you, Jesus, for the work that they have done thus far. They have proven themselves by being servants first and loving this body. And they love the world. And they will no doubt communicate that and model that for the rest of us that we can follow and learn from their example and from their leadership. Bless them, anoint them, keep their family strong. Mm-hmm. And we just love you, Father, for giving them as a gift to us. In Jesus' name, amen.
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 Oh, one last thing. The class starts at 8:45 Kirkish Hall. You know, that's it.
All right. All right, you'll enjoy that. I'm going to get to speaking at some time this morning. But before I do, a couple of new things that are going on Sunday mornings. Say, well, when are we going to do offering time? Well, you guys have done such an awesome job without being in service and being faithful with your giving. We're going to just continue to do what we've been doing. But we have offering receptacles, two in the very back of the sanctuary, one outside. And if you brought your tithes and offerings, you can then leave those in the boxes. And I'm going to pray over that in just a minute. I don't want us to miss the attitude of bringing our offerings to worship. To me, that's very important, that we acknowledge that and we acknowledge God's provision for us. We just won't pass the plates, which right now we aren't allowed to do anyway. But you can bring your offerings and drop them in the box. Secondly, if you're looking for a bulletin or sermon notes, all of our bulletin information will be online now. So as you come, you can either go to the website or there's a QR code at the Welcome Center. Soon we'll have them in all the seatbacks. And you can just scan that and go right to the website and get the notes, get the bulletin information, fill out your connection card there. But if you like handwritten notes, I do. I like them in. I like to write and I like to fill in the blanks and that kind of thing. You can still do that by grabbing a hard copy at the Welcome Center. Okay? So just a couple little new things. Let me pray for our offering and then I'm going to speak. Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you for the provision you've given us. It's been awesome last year as we did not meet, but yet our offerings were greater than the previous year. Lord, you have been faithful to this church family, and we count it a privilege to be faithful to you with our giving. We praise you for all that you've given us, and we will continue, Lord, to function in your economy, knowing that when we sow generously, we will reap generously. Not necessarily for ourselves, but you are a blesser of those who are faithful. And I pray, God, that you would use every penny for your glory in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, let's get into the Gospels this morning. Lots of scripture I want to share with you. What I mean by lots, I mean various ones. So I'm not asking you to turn to a specific passage in the scripture. But we are now 6 months into our theme of cultivate, plant, water, and harvest. And if you're a guest with us, if you're new online or new here, what we're talking about is a mentality and a theme of reaching others for Christ. If there is nothing else that the church does, it should be reaching others for Jesus. That's why he came. How many times did he say, I came to seek and to save the lost? I did not come for the healthy. I came for the sick. That from the beginning of time, in Genesis 1 and 2, there's the garden. In Revelation 21 and 22, the last two chapters in the book, in the Bible, it's about the reunion with God in heaven. Every chapter in between is about God trying to get his children back again. And the picture of him choosing Israel and then moving through the Old Testament and then coming as the Messiah, dying on the cross for our salvation and then birthing the church to go and spread the gospel, filling us with his spirit that we might be bold witnesses. Everything about our existence focuses on winning the lost. What good is it if we're good people and no one else joins us in heaven? So God has called us to cultivate friendships, to then plant the seed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We know that some won't always accept that planting of the seed right away. And so we stay with them and we water that seed until the day, Lord willing, and oh, so hopefully, that they will open their hearts and that they will be harvested, as we see the metaphor so often in the scriptures. So cultivate, plant, water, harvest. Now, how do we do that? What does it look like in our daily lives? Well, we understood that the best way to learn how to cultivate, plant, and water harvest is to ask, what did the master do? How did Jesus do that? And so the last number of weeks, closing with next Sunday, we're saying, what would Jesus do with various kinds of interactions and people? And today, I want to talk to you about what would Jesus do with an indifferent or skeptical person? How many of you know an indifferent or a skeptical person about the gospel? Yeah, we all do. We all know people who maybe we've shared with and they're just going, thanks, but no thanks. Not interested. Or somebody who has a lot of questions and wants to argue about the things of the scripture. What do we do with these folks who are not yet ready to come to Christ? One person said, Christian outreach is like one starving person showing another starving person where to find the bread. But in this day and age, starving people don't want the bread of life, or at least many don't. It may be more difficult today than ever to share the gospel. I'm not sure that's true, for no one has threatened to burn me at the stake lately for sharing the gospel. But there sure are a lot of distractions. There sure are a lot of other things just pounding our brains with falsehood. It's difficult to try to convince someone to go find bread. It's difficult to try to convince someone that they're even starving. Some folks are dying of malnutrition and they don't even think they are. Why would I want your Jesus? I don't need your Jesus. I'm richer than you. I got a better house than you. I've got a better cars than you. I'm surrounded by stuff. Why do I want what you've got? It's hard convincing someone that bread is really good food. Really? Jesus? That's going to make me happy? I'm thinking no. I'm going to look at another philosophy. I'm going to look at other things. I'm going to chase other dreams in hopes to find that fulfillment that I'm looking for. There is a lot of skepticism and indifference today, and it can frustrate us when we know the truth. We know what's right. We know how Jesus Christ is our Savior and His grace is sufficient and how His Holy Spirit leads. And we want our friends and loved ones to receive this Jesus, and they look at us like we have three heads. Why would I do that? Why would I even care? That's good for you, but not for me. And it breaks our hearts. It breaks mine, at least. I'm sure it does yours too. It's hard to watch our friends and loved ones live in a false false reality and just real bondage. 1 Peter 3:15 says, "Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have, but do this with gentleness and respect." Always be prepared to give an answer. That's what we're trying to do with this series of What Would Jesus Do? To be prepared, to be on the lookout for every circumstance that we might find, so that we can give the answer with gentleness and respect. It's best to look at what would Jesus do. Many stories in Jesus' life are in the Gospels about indifferent or skeptical people. That ought to make us feel a little better, wouldn't it? That if we have a hard time kind of convincing people that Jesus is the bread of life, well, let's just think about that the bread of life himself had a hard time convincing people. So if you're struggling a little bit, don't feel like a failure, because if that's the case, Jesus might be the greatest failure ever if we're talking about sheer numbers. When Jesus died on the cross and resurrected and then ascended back to heaven, there were about 100-ish followers. Not much worldly success or numeric success for the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. But then, of course, in just a few short days, it exploded when the Holy Spirit filled his church. Jesus sent out people two by two, and great things happened, but they were ready for resistance. Jesus taught in the synagogue, and people tried to throw him off a cliff. I've not yet had that experience. Maybe it's tougher in those days. Jesus, in his own hometown, had people disavow him and disbelieve him. So this morning, I want to give you five things we should do when sharing with an indifferent or skeptical person. Five things we should do when dealing with a difficult, or rather a indifferent or skeptical person. And by the way, as I start, none of these has anything to do with arguing with people. How many have ever figured out that a debate doesn't usually win someone to Christ? You can win and be right and lose them for eternity. You can prove your point and have them walk away frustrated and bitter. It's not about arguing, it's about giving an answer with gentleness and respect. Number one, it's always number one. It always will be number one. There will never ever be a different number one. When it comes to what we do for God, the first thing we always do is pray. Why is it the last thing we always do? I'm reminded of Vince Lombardi, the great football coach, maybe the greatest coach of all time. He would start every single season as the Green Bay Packers coach. And these guys are the best of the best, Super Bowl winners. And he'd hold up the ball and he said, "Gentlemen, this is a football." Well, duh, coach. Well, he knew that to train them well, he always had to start at the beginning. And so some of you are thinking, "Pastor, we know. You always say it. You always talk about it. Pray. Okay, let me tune out. I want to go to the barbecue." Don't tune out. Because here's what I know about prayer. We talk about it, but yet we don't do it as much as we talk about it. We talk about it, but we are not as disciplined as we ought when it comes to prayer. We know it, but we don't do it as much. Can I get an amen here? Because this is true, right? Yeah, I knew if I asked you that question, nobody'd say amen. Because then you out yourself as the one. Okay, yeah, I know, I'm praying. Romans 8:34 says this, "Who then is the one who condemns? No one. Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us." Did you know Jesus is interceding for you right now? Right now. John chapter 17, Jesus gave an awesome example of how he prayed for us. Peter, just before he went into his great temptation, Jesus said, "Peter, Satan has asked to sift you like wheat, but I have prayed for you." If Jesus Christ, the all-powerful, omniscient, omnipresent one, had to pray and had prayed for people, how can we take it lightly? Church, number one, this is a football. Pray. Every day. Pray. Get on your face before God. Pray. Seek his word and pray. Pray before you seek his word so the Holy Spirit will enlighten your mind. And pray. When you go to work, pray. While you're at work, pray with your eyes open. While you're at your computer, you can be praying all day long, communing with God. Paul said, pray without ceasing. That doesn't mean on your knees with your head bowed, your eyes closed, but you're in constant communion with God. Pray, pray, pray. And I'm not talking about the thoughts and prayers type prayer, which really means I like you and it ends right here. Because nobody ever prays really when they say thoughts and prayers. It's just love ya. Well, if you love them, you'll pray for them. This is not about fast food, ATM, prayer at the dinner table type prayer. 30 seconds and you're done. Easily forgotten. I remember right here in the sanctuary, a number of years ago, when I was a youth pastor, my senior pastor had to go in for a heart surgery. And I was afraid because I loved him. I said, God, I'm going to pray for this man. And I remember staying up all night. I walked this room. And I stood up here where he would preach. Because I wanted him to live. And he did live. I wanted him to get healed. But he had to go through the surgery. So God had that plan. But he lived. When you love somebody, you pray for them. If your family member was hurting and in trouble, I think your prayers would probably be a little different than thoughts and prayers, wouldn't they? Folks, it is truly life and death for people. It is. It's life and death. Because we don't know the days that are appointed to any individual. We read in the paper every single day of some accident or some tragedy or some, you know, stroke of awfulness happens and somebody is a new name written in the annals of eternity. We've got to pray. If someone doesn't respond to us and we're not praying for them, I'm not so sure it's because they're so stubborn. It may be because we haven't prayed that stubbornness out of them. And if you think that's not possible, I'm here to tell you it is. My grandfather was stubborn for about 20 years of his marriage until my grandmother prayed the stubbornness out of him. And I'm glad that same grandmother prayed the stubbornness out of me. And I'm glad that Dan Foster prayed for 2 years and then wrote me that note in his grip, and that's why I write it. I'm glad that the Couchmans, as I mentioned Leonard a minute ago, they prayed for me continually. And I know that I'm here today taking his place 26, 7 years later. Prayer. Church, if you hear nothing, the rest of the 4 points are irrelevant. If you hear nothing at all, that you would leave this place and say, today I'm going to start a new discipline of prayer. I'm going to seek God daily. You don't need to pray for, 400 people. Just start easy. Start with 2 or 3. Start with 1 or 2. Just put their names down. Put it in your Bible. And every day when you open it up, begin to pray for them. And pray for them urgently. Pray for them like this is their last day. Because you know what? It might be. It just might be. Pray for them. Number 2, invest time. Invest time. Matthew 11:19 says, the Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, here is a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners. What a great compliment. Not the drunkard and glutton part, but the friend of sinners part. What a great thing to say to a Christian. They're a friend of sinners. Jesus didn't spend time. Spending time is you spend it and it's gone. He invested time. An investment produces a return. An investment produces greater than what you started. How do you invest time? Well, you're available. If people care about you, but not necessarily your gospel right away, they're no longer indifferent. Because they're connected to you. Someone said, if you walk with Jesus, and someone who doesn't know Jesus walks with you, then they're walking with Jesus unaware. Now, they haven't accepted Jesus yet, but I'm here to tell you that if that person hangs around you long enough, they're going to start sensing that there's something different. They're going to start sensing a power of the Holy Spirit because the Holy Spirit's with you. And as you pray and as you seek God and as the anointing is in your life, that person who doesn't know Christ and they walk with you as a friend, they're going to start feeling his presence. And watch the doors open as you invest time. This is so simple, but this is a football. Invite. Invite. How simple is this? Invite. Make the lunch appointment. Make the dinner appointment. Do a game night. Buy an extra ticket and invite them. I'm so glad that Robert and Claudia are working as department leaders right now. I don't know many folks who are as good at doing what they do. What they do is brilliant strategy. They simply make friends with people. And then when they make friends with people, non-believers, or we'll call them pre-Christians, and Christians, and then they have get-togethers and parties where they can invite both groups to hang out. What a concept! Why don't we take the people who love Jesus, who are filled with the Holy Spirit, intermingle them with a bunch of other people who don't yet know Jesus but are very dearly loved, and let's see if there might just be a little bit of rubbing off in the process. And you know what? It works. It works. We can do this. When you're in the midst of that, you got to accept people for who they are as well. Some of us repel folks because we want to invest in them, but ooh, they do things that I don't like. Ooh, they do things I don't approve of. Oh, you know, their language is kind of salty. It kind of hurts my holy ears. Oh, you know, that I'm not quite sure I can handle these people. Well, Jesus was a friend of drunkards and tax collectors and sinners. We can stand, you can stand it. If they say something that's a little off color, let's just be grown-ups and grown-up Christians about it and say, well, yeah, I've heard that a few times before, and I probably used it a few times myself, if we're honest. My job is to take someone by the hand and take Jesus by the hand and say, I would like you guys to meet. That's actually what an intercessor is. It's actually what a priest is, a bridge builder. God calls us a kingdom and priests. And that's what we're to do. Pray. Pray. Number one, say it with me. Number one, pray. Number two, invest time. Okay, invest time. Take the time. Take the time. Well, what about my time? I hate this phrase, me time. I'm just taking a quick tangent right here. It just jumped into my head. But I just want to be honest. I hate that phrase. I don't know if Jesus ever said one time, I need some me time. I'm sure glad he didn't say that right before the cross. Anyway, number three, tell the truth. Pray, invest, tell the truth. Jesus said to him, you still lack one thing. Sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me. Jesus said this to the rich man who came to him and said, Lord, how do I get into heaven? You would think this is low-hanging fruit. Well, how would you feel if somebody said, hey, can you tell me how I get to heaven? Can you share with me? We'd be like going, whoa, revival. This is awesome. Well, Jesus didn't do backflips because he knew the heart of this guy. And he said, well, here's what you got to do. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Okay, I got that down, Jesus. I'm ready to go. If that's it, write my name down. I'm going to heaven. He said, what? You're pretty rich, aren't you? Shoot, yeah. See this suit? Sweet. See the camel I just rode in on? Four-wheel drive, man. So sell everything you've got. Sell it all. Give it to the poor. Then. Say, well, I won't say what Sean said during worship, but he'd say, well, that stinks. I don't use those kind of words. Jesus. Don't you hate it when you get thrown under the bus? Like, sorry, bro, I'm sorry. Jesus was more willing for the rich man to walk away than to tell him something false. Jesus was more willing for this man to say, I'm not sure I'm ready for that, than he was to make an easy alternative road into heaven. Now, I'm not talking discourage everybody who wants to know Jesus. What I am talking about is telling them the truth. Sometimes we want to water down the truth of Jesus Christ so that we can have more converts. And then we realize or we're frustrated when they fall away easily. The reason they fall away easily is probably because they didn't count the real cost ahead of time. And the reason they didn't count the cost ahead of time is because we didn't present that to them in the first place. They thought it was the easy road. And nowhere in Scripture does Jesus say this is an easy road. He says it's a narrow road. Jesus said it's easier for the camel to get through the eye of a needle than the rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. Whoa, then who can be saved? Nothing is impossible with God. Nothing. We can't tell them, oh, it's okay, rich man. I know you love money. I know you're rich and I know you're all about you, but it's all right. God's grace is sufficient. No. You got to deal with this money issue, my friend. It's standing in the way between you and God. Yeah, it's okay. You can sleep with whoever you want. You can live in. It's okay. God's gracious. He's merciful. No. If you want to serve God, you will leave your life of sin. Jesus said that. We talked about it last week to the woman caught in adultery. Lady, I'm not going to condemn you. I love you. But let's change. If you want to follow me, this is what it costs. And so on. You see, there's a snake in the garden. And we're standing at the door of the garden saying, don't go in there. Don't go in there. And a lot of people are saying, I don't know why you're telling me that. It's a beautiful garden. I'm going to go in there. I'm telling you, don't go in there. There's a snake in there. Well, I'm okay with that because I'll take my chances. And then whack. Hey, there was a snake in there. That's what I was trying to tell you. But how much worse if we stand at the door as someone walks by and says, oh, what a beautiful garden. And we say, oh, well, enjoy. Have fun. Thoughts and prayers. And then whack. I got bit. Did you know there was a snake in there? Well, yeah, but I didn't think you'd believe me. I thought you might get mad at me if I told you there was a snake in there. I thought you might think I was weird. I thought you might, think I was kind of a garden freak and a snake freak and that you wouldn't like me. But I got bit by a snake. What kind of friend are you? I'll never forget when Pastor Jim preached. It just sticks in my mind. He said this phrase. He said, what good does it do to be nice to a person all the way to the gates of hell? What good does that do? Just tell the truth. Remember, with gentleness and respect, with love, with compassion, with time invested, with prayer. But when it comes down to the conversation, we can't try to make a convert by dumbing down the gospel, but by presenting the truth that the Holy Spirit might come into their heart, that they might repent, and God would truly transform their life. And then we've got a person that will remain strong no matter what winds blow. Always be prepared. Number one. Lame. Number one. Okay, number two. Invest. Number three. Tell the truth. Number four. Walk the talk. Walk the talk. Matthew 23, 2-3 says, then Jesus said to the crowds and to his disciples, the teachers of the law and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. So you must be careful to do everything they tell you, but do not do what they do, for they do not practice what they preach. Do what they say because they're reading out of the scripture, but don't do what they do. That's bad advertising. Anybody ever bought something that looked really good, then when you got it, it was lame? All the time. Online purchases, right? Online. You can't try it on. You can't touch it and hold it and feel it. But then again, you can return it easy. But still, bad advertising. This is great. This will change your life. No, this thing is just lame. Back at Advent season, I bought a beautiful Advent wreath for us because we were doing it online, remember? And mine's going to be beautiful. I'm a beautiful display. And it came. I put my four candles in. The four candles went, and they just fell over. And I tried to push them in harder, and they broke. And this is the dumbest thing ever. I didn't even bother packing it up. I just put it on the table over at Whole Foods and said, let Amazon take it back for selling me this lame thing. Sometimes we as Christians, in our self-righteousness and in our putting on our uniform, look one way, but then we behave another. That we can't be bad advertising. But I thought Christians were... Oh, I guess not. I guess not. Somebody said it's not that people dislike Jesus so much, it's that they just have such a hard time with his followers. So we've got to walk the talk. Now, let me just tell you a don't worry. Don't worry if you're not perfect. Okay, don't go out and say, oh, Pastor Greg said, I got to walk the talk. So I got to do everything right. I got to do everything perfect. I can't ever slip. I can't ever mess up. Well, just, you will. You will. There's nobody in here that's perfect. There's nobody in here that gets it right every time. Don't worry. At the same time, don't be foolish and practice things that God would not want us to do. Another one, don't worry if you don't have all the answers. Nobody has all the answers. Well, Robert and Claudia are going to have all the answers as soon as they start their class. And I'm going to go to their class so I can get all the answers. But nobody has them. It's okay to say, you know, let me get back to you on that. It's okay to say, I don't know. That'll give you an opportunity to have a second conversation when you find out. Don't worry. Don't worry. But let's walk the talk. And last, number five, know when it's time to let go, but leave the door open. It was read earlier by Deanna, the parable of the banquet, Luke 14, when Jesus said, invite all these people, bring them in to eat with me. I want to have a banquet. And they all have the excuses. Oh, I just got married. Oh, I just bought a piece of land. Oh, I just bought, you know, yoke of oxen. Oh, I got this and I got that. And I got that. He said, well, then fine. I'm going to go and invite people I don't even know, go to the alleys, go to the homeless, go to the shelters, bring them in because I want to have a party. Bring them in. There was a time to let go. In the right timing, but sometimes we can go around and around and around and around. And you know, it's once you've shared, it's okay. You don't have to feel guilty. I was sharing with a brother. And he had accepted Christ, but it soon came out that he just was kind of a fellow who wanted to take my time. And I invested hours and hours and hours, and there was just zero progress happening. Now, I'm not saying give up on someone. What I'm saying is sometimes you need to move on if it's just not working, and then leave the door open. Let them come. It's fascinating when we've done that, somebody else has picked up the ball and been more effective than I have. It's happened many times. I said, you know, you just kind of, you know, don't have as intimate conversations and come to find out they talked to someone else and someone else clicked with them. And it worked out great. Anyone who wants to come can come. It's like a relay race. Like sometimes we pass folks from one to the next because sometimes somebody might connect better than you. We're just trying to keep people safe. We're trying to keep people from going to hell. We're trying to introduce people to Jesus. So if someone's indifferent or skeptical, pray for them. Pray for them every day. Invest in their life. Tell them the truth. Give them a good example as you walk the talk. And at times it's okay. It's okay to let them go like Jesus did. Rich man, here's the truth. I'm not going to chase you. When the prodigal left the father's home, he didn't chase him, but he left the door open. They can always come back. They can always come in when the Holy Spirit moves. And when you do, don't stop praying for them, though. Don't stop. You're not abandoning them. You're just letting them hear from the Holy Spirit. I want to pray first this morning, then we're going to eat. But 1 John chapter 1, 6 says, whoever claims to live in him must walk as Jesus did. There's a lot of skeptical people out there. You were one of those at some point. There's a lot of indifferent people. Some of you were some of those. And here's the fact. If you're still indifferent or skeptical today, if you're still not sure, can I just tell you, no one who accepts Jesus is ever disappointed. That's the Bible. That's Romans chapter 10. No one, whoever comes to him, is put to shame. I've had ups and downs in my 45 years now. of serving God. There's been ups and downs, but here's what I know. The ups and downs have either been through circumstances or my own foolishness. And Jesus Christ has every day, every moment of every day, been faithful. And when I obey his word, even though times are tough, he's been right there to strengthen and undergird. He will not let you down. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And I hope that you won't wait to see him face to face to believe that, because then it's too late. Today is the day of salvation. I want to pray for you. Lord, in Jesus' name, I ask you, Father, if there's anybody here this morning that is still skeptical or indifferent, and maybe they have wounds. Maybe a well-meaning person has done something foolish and it injured them. I pray, God, that they won't reject you for the foolishness of a human. I ask you in Jesus' name, Father, to soften hearts and move upon us, God, that we would turn to you and find life. Lord, that we would be able to walk through the garden, but because you are with us, the snake flees and we are free. God, I pray for those that already know you, but yet may have been a bit lax in their reaching out to others. I pray in Jesus' name that today you will revive in us a prayerful lifestyle, a lifestyle of investment, a lifestyle of truth, an example of patience and kindness, of wisdom. Help us, Lord. God, I thank you in Jesus' name for your blessed, blessed gift. And Lord, how can we go through life without sharing it? What would Jesus do? Jesus would come to earth, give us his life, fill us with the Holy Spirit. That's what he would do. God, I pray that we also would go into our life this week, prayerfully reaching out to people so that they might find life too. We give you the praise in Jesus' name. Thank you now, Lord, for our food. It's hot. It's out there waiting for us. And what a beautiful day to be able to celebrate our fellowship. We give you the glory for the food, Lord. Thank you for those that have served us today in Jesus' name. And everybody said,
amen.
Amen. All right, let's eat. Let's eat.